greetings in Jesus' name this evening to each one of you. Thank you, dear young people, for lifting our hearts up to the throne this evening with your singing. What a blessing that was, and an encouragement to my soul. I thank you for that. I was greatly blessed and encouraged to hear your testimonies and your panting after God. And I want to bless you for that. And you've been a great encouragement to me already this evening. And if I can be of some encouragement to you, I want to do that. And just encourage all of us together. Thank you all for being here this evening, showing your support to your families, your children, and the church here. And God bless each of you for that. Many things, young people, that you've heard and been taught and reminded of this week. And I trust your cups are full. Trust your cups are still turned up for some more. And I trust that God will meet that need. I think of this wealth of teaching that you have had and the instruction in righteousness, as I'm hearing, that you are blessed. I just want you to know that. I think of this wealth, and I think of how blessed you are. I don't know if you realize how blessed you are, but you are very blessed. There's many sitting behind you that haven't had that privilege that you've had in their youth. But you know, it makes us quite responsible, doesn't it? All the things that you've been taught and that you've heard this week, it makes us quite responsible before God as to what we will do with what we've heard. Whether we'll be doers of the word or just hearers only. You know, the outcome of a doer's life is different than the outcome of those who only hear but never put to practice the things that they have heard. There's quite a difference. Let me read to you some verses that tell you that. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Do you see the difference between the doer of the word and those who only hear the word? And there is that potential for you to be sitting here all week having heard the word, but not become a doer of the word. And I was really struck with that last song you sang, thinking about the words of that song, the chorus of that song. Judas walked with Jesus just like the other disciples, and he was so close, but he didn't know him. And could that be a possibility even this evening? That you're sitting here all week and you still don't know him. You still don't know the one who's been preached about all week. That is a possibility. It's sobering, but it happens. I was also challenged with your thoughts this afternoon. We dropped in here about 4 o'clock, and you were in your open time there and your discussion time, the different questions. But the very last one also provoked some thought in my heart. So I thought about the question, why are so many going from the kingdom of God into the world, into the kingdom of this world, versus coming the other way? And that was your question, somewhat. And, you know, I was challenged with some of the things that were shared, versus, and I think your hearts are that we want to be among the faithful. We don't want to be among those who are not going that way. And I want to encourage you and lift up your hands tonight in that way, to encourage you to be strong in the Lord. I was thinking about these verses here about how that this one who only heard the word, but was not a doer of the word. Jesus likened him to a man that built his house on the sand. And then the storms came. You know, I would to God that each one of us would be built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And young people, all of us, the storms are coming. It's already on the horizon. The wind's blowing. You know, usually when the storm comes, the wind starts blowing first. And we're experiencing that in our nation. The winds are blowing. There's a strong wind that's blowing. It's sweeping people right off their feet, so to speak. The storms are coming. I don't know, will I live long enough to encounter the storm? Because we don't have an assurance that we're going to live tomorrow. So I don't know that. If I live to be 70, I probably will see that storm that's brewing on the horizon. And it's coming. What are you built upon? What you're built upon will be tested. The floods that are already sweeping through the land. It's a flood of ungodliness. It's a flood where there's no fear of God before their eyes. It's a flood that have it my way. A flood of technology. There's a flood of religion, of hearing the word, but not being a doer of the words. Very little reality. And God wants to use each of us in these last days. There is a work to do. I want to encourage you with that. There is a work to do. And God has a work for each one of us. And I believe each one of us wants to be involved in that work. The work of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. And just hold your finger there. And if you would you rise with me? We'll have a word of prayer before we go on here. Matthew 9. Let's rise. Pray. Father in heaven, oh God, we thank you for the challenges that we've heard this evening in song, in testimony. Father, thank you for the things that you've shared with these dear young people this week. Lord, I pray that somehow, even this evening, those things could be stamped deep within each one of their hearts. Lord, I believe that you're doing that work already. You've been doing that work this week, and I just pray that you would continue that work here this evening. And break the bread to us here this evening, Lord. I pray you'd fill up our cups, Lord, again. They're empty, Lord, and we need that filling. Lord, we need the filling of your very presence in our midst, Lord, in each one of our hearts. And I pray that you would move up and down these aisles, Lord, all the way from the front to the back, starting right here, Lord. Let's pray that you would work in all of us. here this evening and do what you want to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In verse 36, notice what happened in the heart of Jesus when he saw the multitudes. It says in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. That's not the only time that this is mentioned, that Jesus was moved with compassion. And most times when he was moved with compassion is because he saw a great need. And I just want to lift that up here at the onset, here as we look at this subject here this evening, that there is a work for all of us. And we need to see through the eyes of our Lord Jesus. And as we see the multitudes through his eyes, I believe it will also move us to compassion, just like it did him. How does it affect us when we see the multitudes? Are we moved with compassion as Jesus was? Do we see people as scattered abroad with no purpose in life? You know, that happens when you're pumping gas. That happens when you're at the checkout. That happens, you know, very frequently. Probably to most of us, it happens every day. That we see people. And how are we seeing them? How are we seeing them? Do we see them as a person without a purpose in life? They're scattered abroad. That moved the heart of Jesus to see that. Do we see the people that God brings our way as sheep without a shepherd? And it seems Jesus' heart was so moved by that as he looked at this multitude of people with these needs. It says there at the beginning where we started reading in verse 35, it says he went about the cities teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And I think that was a natural healing. And yet I think Jesus, as I know him and as you know him, he went way beyond just the physical. He was looking at something deeper than that. And how is it with us? Do we see the work? Are we catching that the vision that Jesus had and looking through his eyes? I believe Jesus' heart was so moved as he looked at this multitude of people. I believe it was as though he was overwhelmed with the vastness of the need, and he wanted his disciples also to catch that vision. Are you one of his disciples? He wants you to catch this vision, I believe. In verse 37, he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Verse 38, pray ye the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Today, the need for laborers is just as great as it was when Jesus walked here on this earth. Probably greater. And the prayer request that Jesus gave, I think, would be even more intensely given than it was to his disciples. I believe Jesus' heart, as he broods and as he looks over the multitude of people on the face of this earth today, young people, I believe his heart would be saying the same thing. But probably with more intensity, because he knows the days are short and the storm is coming. There is work for everyone. It may be God will call some of you to work in the foreign fields. It may be. But more importantly, I believe God wants to use your lives right now for His work. Right where He has you right now. Sometimes we get these dreams and aspirations to go and share the gospel across the sea. That would be great and that'd be wonderful. And it is. But what about right here, where God has you? The training ground that God has you on right now. Now is the time. I'd like to also note that in the very next chapter, in chapter 10, Jesus sends out His 12 disciples. It seems like there was this burden upon His heart. The harvest being plenteous and the laborers few. And He sends His own 12 out to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God being at hand, and healing and sharing, meeting people's needs. You know, it's God who prepares us for the work He calls us to. Do you know that? It's God who prepares us for that. He prepares us for the work He calls us to. Sometimes we don't understand the things that God brings our way. The difficult things God brings our way. Some of you have been through difficult situations in your life. And you don't understand why. And maybe you've asked the question why. I've asked that. We've went through some hard things, and most of you know that. In the past year, we went through some very hard things. But God is still good, isn't He? And God uses different methods to prepare us for His work. But it always seems to come back to one foundational thing. And you'll find this, that I like to try to keep things simple. It comes back to one foundational truth. One foundational thing that it seems like it always comes back to. God does prepare us for the work. But one foundational thing it seems it boils down to is that it takes an empty vessel. It takes an empty vessel. And that's the title of the message this evening, Empty Vessels. Turn with me to 2 Kings 4. I'd like to read this account here and draw some parallels from it for us here this evening. And I trust not to keep you too long. Some of you may need to be driving a distance yet this evening, and I want to be conscious of that and yet be able to bear my heart here with you this evening. 2 Kings 4 in verse 1 through verse 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Quite a predicament this widow was in, was it not? And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Well, I love that account. I love that story. It has so many beautiful truths in that story that I think relate to us. It's a miraculous story. This widow thought that she was going to lose her sons to slavery because there was this great debt that was hanging over her that her husband had left in his passing. And she came to Elisha here and was beseeching him, "What do I do? I mean, they're going to come and take my sons. What do I do?" But God miraculously met her need, and with some despair, just like God does. He doesn't just meet the need, but there's plenty more to go around. Praise God for that. Isn't that how good God is? I want to notice a few things about this account. I want to note that she was a widow. And God takes special care of widows. God takes special care of them. Not only was she a widow, but she feared the Lord. How about us? Do you fear the Lord? Another thing I want to notice, that she was in debt. Aren't we also in debt? Whether you're sitting here and you have never met the Lord, you don't realize how great a debt you owe. Those of us who are sitting here and we've met the Lord, we know what He's done for us, we're still in debt, are we not? We are indebted to Him for life, for all that He's done for us. She was in debt. She only had but a pot of oil in her house. You may feel that way too. Like we don't have very much to give. It's all we've got. But you know, God wants to use that pot of oil. God wants to use that pot of oil. The little that this woman had, God wanted to use. You may not feel, young people, older people, all of us, we may not feel like we measure up. You know, sometimes we stand up here behind the pulpit. Mickey, you can relate to this, I'm sure. But we stand up here and then we hear encouragement from you all. How blessed you were. And you don't know the struggles that we go through up here. And you sit there and you take it all in and drink it all in, and I can see you're absorbing it. But you know, we don't have very much. Of ourselves, we have nothing to give. But maybe it's just a little pot of oil. Maybe that's how you feel. What about this pot of oil? I'd like to liken this pot of oil to God's cruse of oil, the abundance that He wants to pour into our lives. The abundance that God wants to pour into our lives. God has a cruse of oil. It has an endless supply. Just like this woman was taking this little cruse of oil that she had, this little pot of oil, and she began pouring it into these empty vessels. And there was an endless supply. Praise God. I'd like to turn this board around. Maybe we can draw from this a bit. Sure if you can all see this or not. There's just some empty pots here, some empty vessels that we drew up here on the boards. Since we're speaking about empty vessels here this evening, I'll just write that up here. Empty vessels. And I don't know where this woman started pouring when she started pouring the oil. It would be very interesting to hear her story and to talk about her faith, whether she might have started maybe because her pot was just a bit small. Maybe she started with a small one to see, to test the water. I don't know. But maybe her faith was much bigger than that and she tried this bigger one. I don't know. But I do know one thing. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring the oil. And it didn't run out. And that is God's endless supply of oil. It never fails. Not only does it never fail, it met her need and there was left over. There was some to spare. We're just trying to draw some parallels from this story, and I know stories always seem to have an end to themselves somehow, that maybe it doesn't always line up anymore. But let's think about some more parallels. What kind of vessels was she asked to get? Empty ones. And where were they coming from? They were borrowed. They were borrowed vessels. And I'd like to just highlight that. That these were borrowed vessels. And in a sense, you know, these vessels that you and I live in, they're borrowed. You know that all of us are living on borrowed time? God is giving us this time in life to reconcile to Him and have fellowship with Him and be involved in the work that He has for us. But we only live here temporarily. 70 years. And by reason of strength, if we have 80 years, and there's many that have gone on much sooner than that. We live on borrowed time. These were borrowed vessels. But while we live here, while we're here, there is a job to do. And God wants to use us, borrowed vessels that we are, He wants to use us to meet the needs of others. Most importantly, like was mentioned already, these were empty vessels. They were empty vessels. Empty, so that God could use the vessel. Empty, so God's oil could fill the vessel. Empty, so that the needs of this woman and her son could be met. Her sons. Sometimes it's good for us to just to set ourselves into the situation a bit and think about how this must have went. She was told to go home and to get all these vessels together. And it says here that her sons were the ones who brought these vessels. And she was supposed to bring all these vessels in and close the door. I don't think that she needed any onlookers. God wanted to do something for her. Specifically for her. You know, God wants to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. Specifically. You have a need. Maybe you don't know that. You have a need. And God wants to do something for you. I like to think about these two sons as they rush to the neighbors to begin to borrow these vessels. Maybe it went something like this. Mom sent me to get all these vessels that you can lend. You know, I can imagine that there was this urgency in their voice, you know, that, hey, do you have any vessels? Do you have any empty vessels? Mom needs all that she can get. And maybe it was just one or two that they came up with, the neighbors came up with, and so they took those, and or at least scooped them up, you know, and we're like, don't you have any more? Surely you might have another one. And maybe in their urgency, they were looking around for another vessel, and they came over to this one, and they looked at this one. Hey, this one's almost empty. It's pretty big. You know, this one's almost empty. Why don't we just empty it? You know, and they took that one too. You know, maybe there was corn stored in them. I don't know what all they had in those vessels. Maybe there was corn. Maybe there was rice. Maybe some flour. You know, and whatever vessels they could come up with that they could empty, I think they emptied them. Because they wanted to gather up all the ones they could. So they filled all these vessels. Like I said, I don't know where she started when they came in with all these vessels and they had them all into this room and they began filling these vessels from this little pot of oil that they had. But there came a point in time when they were all filled. And the widow says to her sons, bring me yet another vessel. And they said, there is not a vessel left. We got them all. We got every one that we could get. And there's not a one left. I wonder how that must have looked. Must have been a room full of vessels. They had run out of empty vessels. And it says when the last one was filled, it says that the oil stayed. It stopped flowing is what that means. The oil stopped flowing. And it doesn't say whether the pot was empty or not. I'd like to think it probably wasn't. I'd like to think it probably was just as full as when she had started to pour. That's how God is. One thing I'd like to say too, that, you know, it always works this way. God always, when He does something, He always does it the best, right? When He turned the water into wine, and they took, there at the feast, when Jesus turned that water into wine, and they took it to the governor, and he tasted of it, and he was like, why'd you save the best for last? You know, when God does something, He always does it the best. So I expect that when He made this oil and filled all these containers, it was of the best of oil. But that also brings me to something else. God is looking for empty vessels to fill. And God has the best. He has the best in mind for all of us. God is looking for empty vessels to fill, to meet the need that we have and the needs of others. Are we naturally empty vessels? Are we naturally empty vessels? You know, we're born very dependent. But because of the old nature that we have within us, we soon begin to fill our vessels with all kinds of things. God wants to fill you with His fullness. John 1 verse 16 says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Have you received of His fullness? Are you receiving of that oil that is endless supply, that is never failing, and God is pouring out and pouring out into your life in abundance? And it's meeting your needs, and it's meeting the needs of others. God wants to fill us that way. I want to just bring that up front to us. Of His fullness have we all we receive. What is that fullness? Are you struggling? Are you walking in defeat in any area of your life? God wants to pour of His fullness into your life and give you the victory over that thing that so easily besets you. But He needs to have an empty vessel to pour His fullness into. Why? Why do you think that He needs an empty vessel? Well, you know that you can't receive fullness. If we would take one of these vessels here and we just put a rock in there, a marble or whatever you want to call it, put it in this vessel, can we now fill this vessel? Could we actually fill this vessel? No, because there's something else taking up the room. Something else is taking up this spot in this vessel. And God's fullness is not going to be there. He can't even begin to pour His bountiful oil into our lives until we're ready to say, I'm done with everything that I have to do with it, and yield it to the Lord. We want to look at some of these vessels here. But maybe I'll just ask this first. Is there something in your life or in your vessel that keeps you from experiencing the fullness of God? I just like to relate this to you, that there was a time in my youth. I had found the Lord at 14, and I don't exactly remember which year it was I think it was probably about 2 years later or so. I think I was about 16. I just sensed that I wasn't experiencing the fullness of God. There was something that it seemed like was hindering me from experiencing His fullness. Yes, I had experienced some of God's, but not in its fullness. And there was a shameful sin in my life that I had confessed to God earlier. And I had victory over the sin. I wasn't continuing to live in it, but I was hiding it. I was hiding it. I was hiding it from my parents specifically. Didn't really want them to know. And I remember how the Lord laid His finger upon that area. And I resisted for a short time. I did. Some of those things are hard. They're difficult. And I could argue about it. Well, it's under the blood. I've asked for forgiveness. I believe God has forgiven me. I don't stumble around in the thing anymore. But I did want the fullness of God. And it seemed to be that God was laying His finger on that area. You know, when we hide, it's not a good situation, is it? That's what Adam did when he sinned. He hid. And I wanted that fullness. And it was this thing that seemed to be standing in the way. And so one day I shared it with them one Sunday afternoon. And you know, oh my, it's like, why did I wait so long? The peace, the rest, the presence of God, His fullness came flooding into my soul. God coming and filling my vessel because I was willing to empty it. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not more than reasonable that our vessel be clean for God's abundant, beautiful, wealth-flowing oil to flow into our vessel. It needs to be a clean one. And I think you've been hearing that this week. But I wonder if there are things in your vessel that are keeping you from the fullness of God. You may already know what it is. Most times we do. Because God wants to get it out of there worse than you do. Because He wants to fill us with His fullness. God doesn't want to keep these things a secret. He wants to fill us with His fullness. Some of you are experiencing this fullness of God in your life already. And you know what it does? It just creates a thirst for more, doesn't it? You want more of God. You want more of His fullness. He pours His oil in there and fills your soul and fills your body, your being, and you have victory in your life. You're an overcomer. And you want more. You want to draw ever closer to Him. But I'd just like to name a few things that keep us from being filled with the fullness of God, and that keep us, I believe, from really being used of God. Just like to name a few of these things that could possibly be in our vessel. The first one that I'd like to speak about here, and I don't know where to put it. You can see there's all kinds of different sizes. And you know, as I look across your faces here, there's all kinds of different sizes and shapes, isn't there, of vessels. But God wants to fill each one of you with His fullness. And I believe that this widow, when she borrowed these vessels, they were probably not all the same. I expect some were clay, some were probably maybe tin, I don't know. I don't know what kind of vessels they all had back then. But they were, I think, all kinds and shapes. But God wanted to fill those vessels with His oil. With an abundance. But sometimes there are things in our vessel that God can't pour His blessing on. That God can't pour His fullness in. Self could be in our vessel, and God can't pour His fullness in that. Self. And I know that's broad, but we are selfish, are we not? You can be 70 years old and still be selfish. Selfishness is not just in 2-year-olds. It is there, but it's not just there. Selfishness is there not only at 10, but it's there, I find, at 46. It's there when we're 50. It's there when we're 20. It's there when we're 16. Selfishness. Did you ever look up the word self in the dictionary? And look at all the words that flow out of it. It's amazing. In my dictionary, it was the whole, I opened the page up and self was over here at the top left. And all the words flowed out of that all the way into the next page. Flipped the page over and down the next page. All the words having to do with self. I'll just mention a few. And these things, brothers and sisters, these things will keep the fullness of God out of our life. Being self-centered. Focused on yourself. We can even do that in a spiritual way. Always looking so deeply within us that we're destroying what God really wants to do in us. Self-centered. Self-confident. Oh, that can keep away the fullness of God. Self-sufficient. Do you feel self-sufficient? You can kind of handle life. You don't really need anybody else to tell you what to do. That's being self-sufficient. Do you know that being self-conscious can also be an area? If we're self-conscious, that we hinder the flow of God of His fullness in our life. Let's look at another one here. I don't know where to place these all. Let's put this one in here. I think some of you might be aware of what that one is. I think all of us have to do with pride, do we not? But it will squelch that fullness. The fullness of God in your life. God can't fill a vessel when there's pride in that vessel, you know. That was probably the right one to put it in. This vessel really stands out, doesn't it? Compared to all these others. This one has just some really nice shape and contour there. And just pretty nice there, isn't it? And sometimes we feel that way, even about this earthly borrowed vessel that we're in. And we try to doctor it up to even look nicer yet. On the outside, not realizing that we're just squelching the very fullness of God that God wants to pour out in us. Not only that, God resists the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. You know, pride keeps us from confessing our needs. This woman had a need, but pride didn't keep her from confessing it. She came to Elisha in need. And we need to come to that way to God. Pride will keep us from confessing our need. You know, pride keeps us from revival. And pride keeps us from being a vessel that God can use. Let's look at another vessel. I don't know how to do this because it barely will fit here. Sorry if you have to read it sideways like that, but unbelief. Unbelief. We won't believe. We won't believe the promises of God. We don't believe God's words for what it says. We doubt the things that God has said. And it's the very thing that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. And you know, it's keeping people out of the promised land today. That land of rest, that land where we can rest in God, it's keeping people out of that land. And people struggle with this sin of unbelief. And when we have that unbelief in this vessel, God can't put His fullness there because we haven't dealt with that unbelief. He's looking for an empty vessel. An empty vessel. Let's look at another vessel. I'm not sure where to go with this one. I have too many words to put in. But it's a pretty large vessel. In fact, it could look a little like that one. So let's use this one. And I'm going to abbreviate here. I'll just abbreviate quite majorly there. And that really stands for how we use technology. How we use technology. You say, well, now how does that fit in? How does that fit into this whole picture of the fullness of God's? Well, here's how. You know, we have these phones, we have these computers, we have the texting and the social networking. I don't know what all was shared here this week, so I'm just talking here and sharing with you. You know, it's not wrong, maybe of themselves, these things I've mentioned, but they've become toys instead of tools. And they're causing some to fall into sin. And others, it's consuming the mind and the heart in such a way that they have very little time with God. Not only that, not only does it zap away our time with God, but it also, I believe, takes away the desire to be with God. When we're using this technology in a wrong way, I think it can be a tool, but when it becomes a toy, it's no longer a tool, is it? It's stealing away time with God, and it steals away our desire even for God's fullness. Why? Because they're already full. You're already full. You know, and this thing is snaring young people and old people alike. It's swallowing us up. This is part of the flood, I believe. Revelation talks about this flood. And I believe it's part of that flood. And it's snaring young people and old people alike. I'm not sure. I think there's a time coming when you and I probably won't even want to have a cell phone. And it's that storm, has to do with that storm that's brewing on the horizon. Just think about that. But not only that, when this thing is consuming my life, when technology is consuming my life, you know what? God wants an empty vessel. An empty vessel. And He's looking for empty vessels that He can fill. There is a way to empty it, isn't there? Turn it upside down and dump it out, right? Dump it out. Sometimes it takes that kind of shakeup in our lives to turn us around and to get us on the right track. Here's another one. Here's another aspect of this. And I think we're all familiar with this one. I'll just put it over here. Maybe there's a sin in your life, like I was sharing about in my own testimony. Maybe there's a sin in your life, and God will not pour out His oil in an unholy vessel. Maybe you've never been born again. Maybe your life, your whole vessel is filled with sin, and you realize that you're not right before God here this evening. You could be a Judas whose heart wasn't right with God's. He brushed right up alongside Jesus for 3.5 years, but never really knew Him. And we could be that way too. We could sit here this whole week under the sound of the gospel, under the sound of sound preaching, and still walk away with a vessel that's full of sin and never been cleansed. And God wants to cleanse us. God wants to cleanse us because He wants to fill us with His fullness. Here's another one. I think we'll put this one right here in this big one. My own way. I think that's probably fitting to put it in this big one. Because that is such a big thing to deal with. Time and time again, we deal with that one. But when we pursue our own way, we cannot be filled with the fullness of God's. And that thing has so many branches and leaves, if we could use a tree illustration. It has so many places to vent itself. There are so many places where that thing pops himself out. My own way. And Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity. And that's what that is, iniquity. The iniquity of us all. But we need to reckon with it. This thing is keeping many from being used of God. As long as I'm in charge. You know, God can't be in charge if I'm in charge. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. You know, when we're going our own way and we recognize we're going our own way, what do we need to do? Repent. Repent. Turn around. Here's another one. I think I'll put this on the outside because it's too big to go on the inside. Restitution. Restitution. And sometimes we struggle with that one. A need to make restitution. Sometimes there are things in our life that we have sinned against someone else. Maybe God has changed our hearts and maybe we've become born again by His Spirit. And He lays His finger on an area of your life where you need to go back and make restitution for something that you did. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a few of us, huh? And do you know how difficult that can be sometimes? But if you want to be filled with the fullness of God, go ahead and do it. It'll bless your soul. It will encourage your heart. It will fill you with the fullness of God. And it'll meet your need. And it'll meet the needs of others. Here's another one that can so easily be in our vessel. And again, these vessels are too small. Unforgiveness. And we could put bitterness in here. Kind of goes along in a sense with restitution, but it's kind of turned around on the other side. Where we look at the other side of it. Where we're now the one who has been maybe sinned against, or we're the one who they have done us wrong, or we feel they have done us wrong. And how that can be in our lives. That will keep us from the fullness of God. In fact, that'll keep us very quickly from the fullness of God. You know, this is one of the smaller vessels. And sometimes we kind of let that one slide. Because, you know, it's kind of small. It's not that big. And sometimes we don't deal with it in our hearts as we should. When someone has wronged us. And just simply choose to forgive and to let that go. Because sometimes we think, well, that's just really small. You know, it wasn't really that big a thing. And yet it keeps coming up in your mind. It keeps surfacing again and again. It kind of shows us that maybe we haven't dealt with it. Maybe we haven't really taken it to task in our life and just chose before God, we will release. We will let it go. Oh, yes, it hurts, but we'll let it go. Brothers and sisters, that thing is keeping many from the fullness of God. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Sometimes it's towards your parents. Sometimes it's toward a brother or sister. You know. You know what's keeping you. Unforgiveness. It will keep you every time. Its clutches are strong. When we feel that we've been wronged. And this thing turns into bitterness. It's not hard. You want to be filled with the fullness of God and have His peace flood your soul? Forgive! Let it go! Let's look at another vessel quickly here. I think you've been talking about this week. Love for the world was brought up in your topic here this afternoon. And the verses there in 1 John, we won't go there, but we know that those verses tell us that if we have love to the world, we don't have love to God. Because, you know, God won't share His love. You know, as husbands and wives, we don't share our love with other lovers. We don't do that. That's, God calls that adultery. To let my heart go to some other woman. And so much more so when we are to give all of our love to Christ. And then we love the world, or we love the things of the world, or we love this or that, you know, and it's more dear to us than Christ. It will keep us from the fullness of God. Here's another part of that. You know, I see this in young people, and I see this in older people as well. It seems like sometimes we have I don't know how to say this. It's a little bit like a tree. The tree isn't straight up towards God. It kind of has this lean to it. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes in our own hearts, we're not straight towards God. We have this lean towards the world. We have this desire for it. There are some of us that don't struggle so much maybe with that. We have other areas we struggle in. But then there's those who really do struggle with that. Here's a good thing to ask yourself. Do your parents need to continuously get up here on this little tree that keep bending over here towards the world and keep trying to straighten this thing? You know, because they want you to straighten towards God. Do your parents have to do that to you? Young people, do you just have a bent to the world and they're trying to straighten you and cracks and you just kind of goes against your grain? It's keeping you from the fullness of God. Do they have to tell you, no, I don't think you should buy that color shirt? No, I think that material wouldn't be good to buy. Let's move on. Let's move on to a different one. Maybe it's how you want to fix your hair. You're attracted by the fashions of this world. Are they getting your attention? And another one. And maybe we shouldn't have saved that one for the smallest little vessel here. But this will keep us from the fullness of God. Hope I spelled that right. Our reputation. Our reputation will keep us from the fullness of God. Experiencing His fullness. We're afraid of what people think. We're seeking the praise of men versus the praise of God. And we're more concerned about the praise of men and what other people are thinking about us than we are about what God thinks. And I've mentioned this already, but maybe your vessel has never been cleansed. Maybe tonight you're not born again at all. Your vessel is clear full of yourself, sin. Your vessel is full of pride and unbelief and all these kinds of things, self. And you've never emptied your vessel and let God come in there and cleanse it and fill it with His fullness. There's an opportunity tonight that you can have that and experience the fullness of God in your life like you haven't experienced it before. Maybe your heart's not right with God. What are the things in your vessel that is holding you back from experiencing the fullness of God in your life? What are the things that are hindering you from being used of God to help others find God and have their needs met? You know, it may not be anything that I've mentioned up here. I realize that's a very big possibility. But you know what's keeping you from the fullness of God's. And you know whether you're experiencing the fullness of God in your life. What's God laying His finger upon in your life? Do you need to do business with God tonight? I believe we want to just have a time when we can open our hearts before the Lord. You've heard a lot this week. Maybe it was something this week that you feel God is speaking to your heart about and that you haven't really dealt with, and yet it's laying there upon your heart. I want to just give you that opportunity to take your vessel tonight and turn it upside down and empty your vessel. Empty your vessel. Sometimes we say, just empty the bucket. Spill the bucket. Dump the bucket. Rid your life of these things that are hindering you from the fullness of God. What has God spoken to you about this week? What has He spoken to you about this evening? Where are you at with God? Are you experiencing a vessel that is filled with His fullness? Maybe you're not sure where you're at, but you want to seek God. The opportunity is here for you to do that. Maybe you're not clear. You don't know for sure. Where am I? We'll give you that opportunity. Maybe you need to get right with God tonight. You've never been born again. Heed the call of God. Dump your bucket. Don't you want to be free and experience the fullness of God in your life? Maybe you've grown cold in your relationship with God's. It's empty vessels that God can use, young people. And I know some of you have earnest passions about this week and what God has laid upon your heart this week, but you won't do it yourself. You'll never maintain it yourself. You'll never be able to stand up by yourself. You need God. You need His fullness. It never runs dry. It never runs out. His fullness is there, and you'll need it every day. How is it tonight? Do you have an empty vessel? Maybe you just need to avail yourself to God tonight. The altar is open for whatever the need is, young and old alike. Because I think this hits all of us, doesn't it? Young and old alike. And we just want to sing a song of invitation. God has spoken to your heart tonight. We want to give you that opportunity to respond to Him. You're not responding to people. You're not responding just because that others think you need to. Respond to God tonight.